You're listening to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. What was taking him so long? Celine just finished another song. Iman paced back and forth across the empty stadium box. He kicked an empty container across the floor.
"Hurry up!" he shouted to the open air.
As if in response to his shout, Iman saw Billy limp up the stairs and onto the stage and stand next to Fat. It was about time. But why was Phil up there? Celine's agent didn't need to be on stage. He preferred to stay behind the scenes.
"No!"
Phil had to know something was going on. Somehow that barbarian had gotten Phil suspicious. But how? Mind entry never gave any sign that it happened. Fat had never suspected his use in any of Iman's plans, nor Jack. So why would Billy and Phil think something was amiss? It didn't matter. Iman had precious little time to find out what or who was flying in the skies over the stadium, and to do that, he needed Jack. Jack Indebox had been used many times before, and had never suspected. The orb vibrated and started flashing. Iman picked it up.
"Jack?"
"This is Jack. What do you need me to do?"
"Jack, I need you to go and free Ateo, and then go to the Ataris. Contact me when you're there."
Iman broke the connection before Jack could reply. There wasn't time for replies, only for action. He'd spent far too much time getting this prepared, and he wasn't going to let anyone mess it up. All the pieces were in play, and some had been compromised. He'd hoped to have time to meditate, but that wasn't going to happen. No matter. He'd be able to do that after all this was said and done. He strained to think who could be plotting against him. No one, after all, had ever asked him any questions. No one had even approached him with suspicion, so why would everything be falling apart now? Could someone else have a grand plan overlapping his own? Who could be smart enough for that? No one in the city was as smart as he. No one. In fact, the only reason he'd managed to reach his current status was because of his own brilliance. So it couldn't be another person planning and plotting against him or in parallel to him. It had to be that someone else was trying to do something much smaller and insignificant. He'd deal with that petty problem later. Yes, he would. The orb flashed and buzzed. Iman didn't pick it up. Instead, he sat and put his face into the control box. Jack wouldn't feel a thing. Iman's essence flowed through the box and into an ethereal realm that allowed him to flow without moving. He could see all the lines of everyone's being and easily identify Jack's presence. With a thought, he entered Jack's mind and brusquely pushed him aside and looked through the lackey's eyes.
"Ateo, we need to take off right away,"
Iman said with Jack's body as he pocketed the orb.
"Huh?" "Go. We're in a hurry. I need to be up in the air now. Someone else is flying around the stadium, and we need to find out whom. They may be trying to kill Celine."
Ateo crossed his arms across his chest.
"You caught me for trying to kill Celine. Why should I listen to you now? If you don't, I'll kill you."
"That's hardly a threat coming from you."
Iman grabbed Ateo's head and squeezed. He cursed. The power Billy's body had far outweighed the pitiful excuse for strength Jack displayed. It didn't matter.
Ateo looked at Jack with fear, as if he was waiting for something to happen.
"If you don't, I'll trap you inside your own body, forever cursed to look out and see the world, but never again to be able to move in it or communicate with it. Now move."
Yes, sir.
Ateo turned and nearly ran to Celine's dragon. This was better. Far better. When Ateo slowed, Iman gave him a push to help him keep his speed. There could be no delay. The dragon's flight cabin was stunning with its gold inlay and miniature marble columns. The plush leather seats were the height of comfort, but Iman didn't have time for the glam and glitz or the comfort. He instead got into the pilot's cube with Ateo.
"Take off! I need to be in the air now!"
Ateo worked the controls, and the dragon launched straight into the night sky. Once away from the city lights, the starry background gave the sky definition. Definition he needed to spot an unlit craft flying in the vicinity of the stadium.
"Circle around and keep your eyes on the lookout for another craft up here. It'll be flying without lights, so watch the stars. If you see an unusual dark spot, that'll be what we're looking for." You mean like that moving dark shape there?
Ateo pointed to a dark mass about a mile away, judging by the size. If it were an average dragon, it could very well be the one they were looking for.
That must be it. Get me to the craft!
Iman grabbed a handrail and ran across the wall of the cabin as Ateo banked sharply to set an intercept course of the rogue dragon. No one was supposed to be flying over the city without its lights. This person was breaking the law.
Kill the lights!
What?
You heard me. That dragon has no lights, and if they see us coming, they'll be able to avoid us. Now turn off all the lights!
Ateo did as he was bid. Never in all his life had Iman been questioned so many times, but it was all nearly over. He was so close. If he could stop this threat, he could easily execute his plan, and he'd have little to worry about for the rest of his life. Months he'd spent planning this. Far too many months. But he was so close. He couldn't let anyone mess up his plans. No one. As the offending dragon came into view, and its shape took on definition, Iman climbed through the front window of the dragon's flight cabin.
"What are you doing? Where are you going?"
asked Ateo, obviously alarmed by Iman's exit.
"Just get me close to that dragon. Once I'm off, I care not what you do. Just leave. Go far away and never come back to Sethopolis. Do you understand?"
Ateo nodded dumbly, the fear in his eyes speaking for him. Iman turned and led himself to the side of the cabin and prepared to leap from one dragon to another. In his own body, he'd never attempt such an idiotic stunt. But this wasn't his body. If Jack fell, Iman could easily just pull back from his box, and Jack would return to his mind and watch the fall. The dark dragon loomed closer. Iman could feel his stomach flutter with anticipation. He had to quell that reaction. He had no time for excitement. He had a job to do. He steeled his nerves and clenched his teeth. The wing of Selene's dragon crossed over the rogue dragon. Iman sprinted along the meaty part of the dragon's wing, being sure not to step on the thin membrane, and dove off. The feeling of falling lasted for only 2 seconds. He'd counted, but felt interminably long. He hit the top of the cabin and felt Jack's shoulder dislocate and his leg break. It didn't matter. Once he'd finished with Jack, he'd do the man a favor and jump off the dragon and be done with him now. Selene's dragon banked away from the stadium and flew south. Good job, Ateo. Why hadn't I recruited you? It was a struggle to get to the edge of the cabin and swing himself down to the pilot's cabin. The pilot started as Jack appeared and reached for something.
"Don't move!" Iman yelled.
He crawled through the front window.
"Be quiet, and I won't have to kill you. You may even get out of this counter alive."
The pilot nodded.
"There's a good man."
Iman opened the door to the rear cabin. It looked too much like a cozy cabin you'd find in the woods. Not the cabin of...
Seth?
Seth smiled.
"Iman, I was expecting you."
Watching Selene from the stage, Billy still felt shaky. Every part of his body was covered in goosebumps. He felt weak. Weak and useless, that's how he felt. Like his insides had been filled with uncooked pudding and left in the snow. Pudding. Why'd he have to go and start thinking about food? His stomach rumbled in its natural response.
"Where Jack?" Fat demanded.
"He have another job,"
Billy said, and then squinched up his face. Had he been around Fat that long that he started talking like him?
"You make fun of me!"
Fat kicked Billy in his good leg. Maybe Fat was starting to take a liking to him. Billy smiled.
"What job?"
"He didn't say. He just said he had something else to work on."
Billy scanned the stadium and watched the waves of people sway and dance in the torchlight. Nearly all of them were blissfully unaware of anything that was transpiring around them and concentrating on Selene's singing. She sung beautifully, yes, but Billy had his job to do, too. He had to make sure he was doing it and not just watching Selene. Nothing moved in a way that it shouldn't move. Billy scanned the stage and saw the stagehands move about as well as the lights from the dragon taking flight.
"A dragon?"
Phil and Fat turned and followed Billy's finger.
"That's Selene's dragon,"
Phil said.
"I thought Ateo was tied up."
"He is," Billy answered. "Fat, do you know anything about that?"
"I know nothing."
"Do you think Jack took the dragon?"
"No, he know how to fly. He not smart enough to fly dragon."
Billy turned and limped off the stage. He suddenly needed to know where Jack had gotten off to. He hoped it wasn't Jack and that dragon. Maybe Ateo overpowered him and got away. But why would Jack need to go down and mess with Ateo anyway? Ateo was tied up, and they were going to attend to him later. That's what the city guards were for. They were just here to keep Celine safe. Each step hurt.
Billy, where you go? Fat asked. You need to stop going.
I need to check on something. Phil, can you come with me? I think something is wrong.
Why don't you let Fat check it out? You're in no shape to go strolling around, let alone looking for someone.
Phil, please, I need to do this.
Phil sighed. It sounded like a lion growling. Billy shivered, but he wasn't sure if it was how he felt or the sound Phil made. They made their way down the stairs of the stage and finally down to Celine's dressing room. Billy knew he should have told Fat to keep an eye on Celine's dragon. He pulled the orb from his pocket without thinking of Iman's warning. Somehow, all of Iman's words carried no weight. He thought of Fat.
This Fat!
Fat, this is Billy.
Billy, you no show up to Phil, do you?
What's that?
Asked Phil. Billy stammered.
I'll explain later.
He wanted to explain it later, but Phil's beady little pinpoints of eyes widened. He suddenly took an intense interest in what Billy held in his hands, and Fat's voice emanated from.
Fat, keep an eye on Celine's dragon. Let me know.
It gone!
It's what?
It just disappear. I no see no more.
Try to watch and see if you can see shadows moving through the stars. I think it's still there.
I try.
I'll be back in a minute.
Billy pocketed the orb.
I think you've got some explaining to do. Billy, what was that?
Billy looked up at Phil. He didn't like that Phil hadn't finished coming down the stairs, so they could be more eye to eye. They were so close to the room. He just had to see if Jack or Ateo were there. He had a sneaking suspicion that neither were there. He ducked back and looked into the dressing room. The room lay, just as they'd left it, splattered with gore and blood.
Billy, what was that orb you were talking with Fat on?
Billy turned around and looked at Phil and sighed.
It's something that Iman gave us to keep in contact.
Iman is the one in charge of Celine's security? The Iman?
The same.
That makes sense. But where'd he get those? Can I see it?
Billy didn't see any harm, and handed it to Phil. Phil rolled it around in his hands and looked intently at its surface.
How's it work?
Magic,
Billy said with a shrug.
I already told you, I don't believe in magic.
I don't either, but it's easier than looking for a deeper explanation.
Come again?
I said it's easier.
Coming from you, Billy, that doesn't make any sense. You've asked more questions in the short time that I've known you than people I've known my entire life. Are you telling me you didn't ask how this works?
Somehow, when Iman explained it, it just made sense.
Phil handed the orb back to Billy.
I may ask to look at that again later. I hope you don't mind.
No.
So, it looks like Jack and Ateo are gone. Do you have any idea where they'd up and leave like that?
I don't. I'm guessing Iman gave him something to...
Billy froze.
What is it?
Phil asked.
Seth.
Seth? Seth who?
There's another dragon flying around the stadium. Seth is in it. And he's looking for Iman to keep an eye on him.
Billy fished the orb out of his pocket again. He concentrated on Fat once again.
This Fat!
Fat, it's Billy. Where's Iman?
You call him. He answer.
No, I can't call him. He didn't answer.
I don't know. I don't think you need see him.
This is an emergency.
I call.
No, I mean, don't bother him. I really need to go up and see him, in person.
Phil whispered to Billy.
What's this about?
Billy held up his hand to keep Phil from saying anything else.
He in stadium box, 12B. But he no like it you bother him.
Thanks, Fat. And, Fat, I think you should get off the stage, just in case.
What?
Billy put the orb in his pocket and looked back to Phil, desperation in his eyes.
Phil, I'll never make it to Iman in time, and I've got to get back to Celine. I need you to do a huge favor for me.
Billy, you name it. You've saved Celine's life twice tonight, almost single-handedly. It's about time I did something more to help you. What can I do?
Billy pulled the tiny hand from his pouch and held it out for Phil to take.
Seth gave me this.
How could Seth have been expecting him? He'd given no clue that Seth should have been able to detect. None at all. Iman looked at the table Seth sat next to and saw the splashes of color in greens and reds and blues showing varying strengths of magics across the city. The largest of these swirls of colors centered around the stadium.
Who else could have produced such a signature? I've noticed a slight surge of power at your tower, but it dissipated. I wouldn't have grown suspicious if it hadn't been for the massive increase around the stadium.
Seth never stood up, but only puffed at a long pipe and watched Iman. He motioned for Iman to sit down.
I prefer to stand.
As you wish. Know this, Iman. Whatever you have planned, I will stop you.
Iman laughed.
You can't. It's far too late for anyone to stop what I've put into motion.
Seth raised an eyebrow.
It's never too late. If you think that, you've grown overconfident in your abilities. No, I've not. But you certainly have, if you think you can prevent the events I've put into motion. This is too big for even you to stop.
Seth looked down at the table and watched as the colors swirled. Iman smiled at the rainbow of colors centered at the stadium. All that power in one place was unstoppable. Seth may be a great wizard, but even his power had limits, and he didn't even know the crux of the power Iman was going to wield.
How'd you do it? How'd you get so much power in one locale?
Iman smirked. He wasn't going to give Seth anything to work with. Why should he? Why would he let this wrinkled old man have any inkling of what was happening below? He couldn't just give up his advantage. He could lie, though. That was it. Misdirect the old fool. Give him a sense of security and rip it out from under him. But Seth could detect a lie. Perhaps he could tell the truth, and Seth would assume it was a lie. He would never trust anything he said anyways, so why not just tell the truth? Because the truth, even assumed as a lie, could lead him back to corrupt his plans. That's why. He had to think of something to say.
Perhaps your readings are false readings. I couldn't accumulate that much power from so many different sources all on my own. It could be that there are many magic users there, each collecting power to their own ends. I don't doubt there are more than one mage down there, given the power isn't fully centralized and is of multiple strengths. But I must assume that you mean to use that accumulation of power somehow. I don't know how you could do it. Collect all that magic to use. So much talent in one location, I didn't see it as a problem. But with so many gathering power to them, I do see as a threat. What are you really up to? Why should I tell you anything? It's because of you that all those black-robed men walk the streets and try to recruit others. You've started up some strange cult. And although they've done nothing to harm anyone, doesn't mean I trust them. Not one little bit.
Seth tossed his pipe onto the table and stood up, pointing his finger at Iman.
And, given that you're their leader, means I trust you the least.
Iman spread his hands in a gesture of innocence.
I have no idea what you're talking about. My followers are peaceful people. We mean no harm to anyone. If anything, we're trying to bring about peace in a land of confusion and chaos.
Seth narrowed his eyes.
I don't know what you're getting at, but I cannot let you leave. Pilot, lock the doors!
Iman turned to leave through the pilot's cabin, but it slammed closed. He didn't waste any time checking it. It would be locked. He had to get out. He had to get out now. Even though he was in Jack's body, he couldn't leave Jack on board the dragon in Seth's control. Jack didn't know much, but anything he could tell Seth could prove detrimental. He couldn't have that. Seth pulled out a staff from behind the chair. The old man moved far too slowly. The first pass of the staff passed easily over Iman's head. You'll have to do better than that to stop me from getting out of here. Seth passed the staff again over Iman's head. He felt a tightening in his limbs, as if he'd been bound. He fought off the feeling and moved toward the back of the cabin. He couldn't gather power into Jack's body to use, and suddenly felt defenseless. At any moment, he could just pop out of Jack's head, but he wasn't about to leave even a pawn in Seth's control. He hated to do it, but he'd have to sacrifice Jack into box. The window at the rear of the cabin sat open. Iman rushed toward it.
As he neared the window, he leapt into the air. As soon as he felt the fresh air on his face and saw the rear of the dragon come into view, he pulled out of Jack's head. Iman sat up and looked at the box on his lap. Such a horrible way for Jack to go, plunging to his death. The dragon had been high over the city, and the fall would most certainly be a fatal one. But there was nothing to do about that now. Celine stood in the middle of the stage with her hands over her head as she finished yet another song. How close was she to the end? When should he make his move? There couldn't be much left, but being her final event, she apparently intended to go longer. Iman got the feeling she was stalling for some reason, almost as if she suspected something. She couldn't know anything that was going on. She just couldn't. Iman closed his eyes and took a deep breath. He needed to focus. Jack's death hung on his mind. Such a waste. He should have subdued Seth, but knew Jack's physical strength and poor condition wouldn't have done anything against Seth's magic. He had to put it out of his mind and concentrate on the task at hand. He still had Fat if he needed him, and there was Billy. Big Billy Barbarian. "Your time has come, Billy. I need you now." Iman looked down at the stage and could see Billy standing next to Fat. He had to make a quick call first. He had to make sure Fat didn't disturb anything. And it was good that Phil was finally off the stage. He'd not be able to do anything to interfere. The time had come to put his plan into action. Iman pulled the orb from his pocket and thought of Fat.
"So I just need to get this and put it on Iman."
"That's what Seth told me." Billy gave the hand to Phil. "Get this on Iman, and Seth can do something to stop him. I'm not sure what. He didn't even tell me that part." Phil looked at the tiny hand and nodded.
"Consider it done, Billy."
"Thank you, Phil." How had Billy ever come to suspect Phil could have anything to do with Celine's assassination? Even that he could be remotely involved just didn't feel right. Billy needed to trust someone, and it felt right that it was Phil. Somehow it was as if Phil and Billy had become brothers of a sort. A brother Billy always wanted. Someone he could entrust anything to. Phil made short work of the stairs and quickly disappeared. Those same stairs made for grueling work for Billy. He struggled up them and knew he'd have more to climb to get back on the stage. It struck him. If he suspected that Iman was up to something, could Iman suspect that he knew? Was it at all possible that Iman knew more than he let on? Something about the man screamed intelligence, but a quiet, cold, and calculating intelligence. He obviously had some sort of plan, and Billy lay at the center of that plan. Billy stopped on the stairs. Maybe he should take himself out of the equation. If he weren't available for Iman to put into action, then no harm could come to Celine, right? He could just hide out until the concert ended and then come back to the stage. The danger would be gone, and all would turn out all right. On the other hand, if Iman's plan counted on Billy's inaction, and blame would fall to Billy for not performing his duties, and all eyes would turn away from Iman as a potential suspect in the harm that would befall Celine. Billy could be put into jail. He'd never survive being locked up. He also couldn't just sit aside and wait for things to go wrong. If Iman was going to attack Celine, he had to make sure that he was present and do everything in his power to stop him. The only way to do that was to be on the stage. Billy fought the pain as he worked his way up the stairs. As he got to the top, he removed his battle axe and held it ready. No harm would come to Celine. No harm at all. He ascended the few stairs to the stage. He could hear the dull pounding of the music, but the pain flared to the point he couldn't make out anything more than a throb in his head. He couldn't even hear Celine's sweet voice. He wanted to hear her. He wanted assurance she was still well. At the top step, he could see her, dancing and singing. He smiled. Billy stood next to Fat.
"Where you go? Show almost done. Where Jack?"
"Iman sent him to do something."
"I know. Why he not back?"
"I don't know. Why don't you just call him?" Fat pulled the orb from his pocket and waited. He held the orb closer to his face and furrowed his brow, concentrating intently on the orb. He looked up at Billy, then at the orb again. Billy felt his pocket vibrate and pulled the orb out.
"They work. Why Jack no answer?"
"You think something happened to him? Maybe he's just in a place he can't talk right now."
"I no like."
Fat put his orb away. Billy did the same. "Iman gave him something to do. I'm sure he's fine."
Even as Billy said those words, he suspected that Iman had done something to Jack. Something bad. He couldn't shake the feeling. It made the small hairs in the back of his neck stand up. He scanned the stadium. Where was Stadium Box 12B? Where was Iman? What was he up to? Fat flinched and pulled the orb from his pocket.
This Fat!
Iman's voice came from the orb, sounding weak and tired. Fat, I need you to find the stage manager, Steve Jameson. Call me back once you've found him.
Yes!
Iman, is there anything I need to do?
There was a long pause before Iman replied.
Stay put, and keep your eyes open. There's been two attempts on Celine's life. There may be another. Don't go anywhere.
I understand.
Billy didn't like the way Iman had given his orders. The words were cold and lifeless, as if he recited something instead of really speaking, almost as if he had not wanted to speak to him. Billy didn't like it, not at all. He stopped Fat.
What do you think he wants with Steve?
I no know. I go get him.
Fat tried to pull away from Billy.
Really, Fat? We're supposed to be watching Celine.
Fat sighed.
We have job to do. That job, whatever Iman tells us to do. He want me go find Steve Jameson. I go find Steve Jameson.
You mean you don't care why he wants him?
Why I care? I still need get him.
Maybe we should ask him what he needs Steve for. I talked a lot with Steve when you sent me to go look around the stage. Maybe I can save him some time and answer his questions.
Fat's eyes widened.
He no want talk to you. He want I find Steve. Your job, watch Celine. You watch.
Fat's tone had changed since they first arrived at the stadium. It made Billy nervous, almost as if Fat had some idea what Iman was up to. But he didn't like it. Even so, he wasn't going to go against Iman and would do whatever the man bid him to do. Billy looked at the ground. Fat squeezed his arm.
You good man, Billy. You do your best. I go find Steve.
Fat left. Despite the words of good intentions, they did nothing to make Billy feel better. He wanted desperately to know what was going on. Iman obviously had something planned, but what? And why? What did Celine have to do with his plans? So many questions, and no one to answer them. Billy wanted to sulk away. He had no business being on the stage. Sure, he'd protected Celine twice, but those were physical attacks. Seth had mentioned magic, and Billy had no defense against that. But wait, he did. Seth had given him the silver rod that would protect him from magical or physical attack for a short time. If anything else came at Celine, possibly from Iman himself, he'd be able to use that to protect Celine and get away. He replaced his battle axe and pulled out the silver rod with the tiny vines on it. He traced the pattern with his fingers. Such a simple item with so much power. Billy's head snapped up. He was the only one left on the stage to protect Celine. He had to be at his best. He shifted his weight, winced, and righted himself. His wounds were growing stiff. Tomorrow he'd be severely limited in movement, but for now he'd have to try and keep blood flowing to those wounds so he wouldn't freeze up at a critical moment. He flexed his foot and bent his knee as he massaged his shoulder. The pain brought him back into focus to the task at hand. Pride filled him. He had saved her twice and knew he could do it again if the need arose. His eyes shifted to watch her dance for a moment, her body gyrating in time with the other dancers. He could easily spend the rest of his life with her. She was so beautiful, so graceful, so... Something in Billy's mind tried to push him aside.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian. For more information on this book and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. And again, thank you for listening.